Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the first month, the 21st day in the year 2024, and it's the third Lord's Day after Epiphany, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice
there. And it's the feast day of St. Agnes. I have one of her bones in my pocket. See, right there, St. Agnes. I had to tape it because this thing is loose. But think about that. I got the bone of St. Agnes. Relics are relics, right? All these people are running around the world trying to get King Tut's bones. Yeah. The bones of King Tut. Whoa! National Museum, the whole world. Yeah. You find the bones of St. Peter and they don't care.
Yeah.
The bones of St. Peter who spoke to Christ. Christians, I mean. It's crazy. What's going on?
You may be having performance, but then it went off. Yeah. I don't know.
I think pops up you're having performance issues.
Yeah.
How dare him criticize me? I'm having performance issues. What do you think I'm performing here? What do you think I am, an actor? Some type of a secret agent? You're having performance issues. I have St. Linus, St. Agnes, St. Benedict Piscopo, and St. Felicitas. So I carry this around with me all the time.
You'll have to give them back one.
They'll disappear. Imagine, during the general judgment, if we save our souls, the things that God has prayed, even now, St. Paul said, you can't imagine how great the things are in heaven, let alone the earthly paradise to come. And I think the greatest thing is first seeing God, then Mary, Joseph, the Holy Family, and then you get to see all the angels and saints. You get to sit down and speak to Moses and Aaron.
Yeah.
King David. You know, who is it like when you cut off Goliath's head, you know? And God's going to show us the real movie. It's like he took the video picture of it. You're going to see the real events. I mean, this shabby, stinking world isn't going to last that long. I mean, it's like I was reading one of the scriptures that says, like, you know, this whole world is like a blink of an eye with God. The whole existence what's that compared to eternity? For us, everlasting life, which goes on forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's a scary thing because they say, like, when you're in hell, right? And it's true. They said, like, if you told the devil he's going to get out of hell in a billion years, he'd be happier than ever. Because he knows he's going to get out.
Yeah.
Even though it's a billion years, long time, suffering, but he's going to get out.
Yeah.
No. He's never going to get out. Never. There's no hope. There's nothing. It's forever. You're done. And that's why he's so desperate in all the damn humans. Desperate and also frustrated because he needs God's permission to do whatever he does. So he's doing a lot because of people deserve it and God's allowing it. But still, he needs God's permission to do whatever.
Yeah.
But he's the all-time loser. What can you say? You know, these few people, they want to be cowards in this world. They don't want to stand up for the truth And then they're going to go, like Rebecca, they're going to go to hell forever because of their cowardness. Because
we're
afraid to talk against the Jews.
Yeah.
The Jews. And they're afraid to talk about on the devil, too. They're afraid of speaking about, they're afraid of the devil.
Yeah.
Now, I want to, Brother Mateus brought us something very important. It's amazing how, and sometimes you wonder, you know, I got like three big things I'm working on right now. Big things. Big things. So I was working on one big thing. Then I said another big thing came along. It says, well, that's big too. Then a third big thing came up. And I said, well, this is bigger, but they're all big. And so, this is the way God works. I just want to show you something. So all week I was working on this other big thing, which is turning out really good, but it took a lot of research and reading, which is fine. And I'm putting the final touches on it, but now I got to the point on this third big thing where I was able to get the picture. I did my studying, the historical things, the papal documents, and also I looked at it, and then I was able to finally at least get to the point where I know how to handle it, which thank God, because what happened today, Brother Mateus brought something up that's even bigger. Now, they're all big. But this is, it was God's will that he brought this up, because he was talking about abjuration. Now, you remember the trouble we had on getting people to abjure?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the biggest thing you have with people is they are full of pride. I don't have to reject and condemn anybody. You don't. You can't tell me that I must reject and condemn anything. Or you can't tell me that I have to believe anything. So they didn't want to make a profession of faith. They didn't want to make an abjuration. Abjuration, profession of faith, it could serve as the same thing. Abjuration is in the negative form. A profession of faith is in the positive form. So if you're to abjure the heresy, you could say, I reject and condemn the heresy that Jesus is not God. Or, I believe in the dogma that Jesus is God. It's the same thing. One's negative, one's positive. So I reject and condemn the heresy that states Jesus is not God. Oh, you're right, that's heresy. Or you can say, I profess the dogma that states Jesus is God. It's covered on both bases. So whether that's what that's what I'm talking about today. It's important. But here's what I'm getting at. He was asking me questions because he's trying to convert these people down in Brazil. And I know this from experience. That is a big issue. Because of why? Because of rebellious, non-judgmental, non-punishmental people. They don't want to take an abjuration. Remember, they don't want to make a profession of faith. And you're not going to tell them they have to. So most people don't want to admit when they're wrong because they're full of pride. And they don't want to submit to authority. So no one's going to tell them what they need to do. That I forget how big of an issue that was. He brought it back. Yeah, go ahead.
Merlin Remmel.
I was just going to say, you know it.
Yeah.
Merlin Remmel.
Poster girl for that. Oh, man.
She says, you can't tell me. No one's going to tell me. I got to reject them. Oh, yeah? And I quoted the, I got like in my book that I had, it was posted then, and I quoted like 3 or 4 quotes on it. I will give 2 quotes from the book I'm revising now on abjurations. This is from the First Council of Constantinople in 381, Canon 7. Those who embrace orthodoxy and join the number of those who are being saved from the heretics, we receive in the following regular customary manner, Arians, Macedonians, Sabbateans, Novatians, those who call themselves Cathars and Aristae, Quattro de Messines and Teredites Apollinarians. These we receive when they hand in statements and anathematize every heresy which is not of the same mind as the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I now quote from the Council of Laodicea in 390, Canon 7. Persons converted from heresies, that is, of the Novatians, Photinians, Quattrodecimians, whether they were catechumens or communicants among them, shall not be received until they shall have anathematized, rejecting, condemned, every heresy, and particularly that in which they were held. End quote. And I have many more in the revised book, which will be coming out shortly. You know, if you have to reject and condemn to enter the church, as you, I don't care what you say, you're a cult. You guys are a cult. I says, yeah. I says, good. Get out of here and start your own cult and leave my cult alone. Because I told her, she would cry. Because there were 2 people present that were getting ready to abjure.
Right.
And she was there to prevent them from abjuring. So she was trying, she's pulling them aside. He can't make you abjure. He can't tell you have to reject and condemn anything. You don't have to reject and condemn anything. So when I showed her the teachings and she rejected, I said, here it is. What's that? You know, that's the that's a modern heresy. It did creep in. You're not allowed to judge or condemn anybody. And here's the other. Remember, Phil, you were discussing something with that one guy and he told you, I don't have to tell you what I believe. And we says, well, if you don't tell me what you believe, then you're a heretic. You're ashamed of your faith. I says, I'm not going to call you a Catholic unless I know what you believe.
Right.
Phil was debating this guy back in, and not just him. It's a lot of people. It's big. Go ahead and ask somebody that you're debating, a nominal Catholic. I want to know what you believe point by point. That's it. He's going to go nuts.
Yeah.
He's going to go nuts. Now, I wrote to him, are you going to be in religious communion with anybody who's ashamed to make a public profession of the Catholic faith? How can I call that guy Catholic if I don't know what he believes in? The diamonds are like that. They don't require no profession of faith. They don't require no abjuration. They just go, quote the Council of Trent of a creed, you know, or the Nicene Creed. That's not enough. That's not enough. You got to have a profession of faith and abjuration that covers all the points of the great apostasy, almost all of them, which mine does. But it's common sense that you don't just have somebody walk in the back room and say, hey, I'm Joe Catholic. Hi, Mr. Catholic. Let's pray together. Okay, you said you're Catholic? Let me test you. A priest even was told if any stranger comes into his church, he's not to give him Holy Communion. He says, see me after Mass, and he wants to find out what he believes in, if he's truly Catholic. And by the way, in the early days of the church, the good days, if anybody traveled to a church that he didn't belong to, his priest would give him a certificate that stated he's Catholic. So he can give it to the priest he's visiting, so he can know he's Catholic, and he can give him Holy Communion. That's the teaching of the church for the first 1,000 years. That's when we had this pillar and this rock. But today, don't you dare ask people even what they believe. Forget abjuration even. They don't want to do. They don't even want to tell you what they believe in. They don't. So we did this so many times. I want to know what you believe about the salvation dogma. I don't got to tell you. I don't got to tell. Or they'll deny it, or they're not going to tell you. So we would list a few things, and they won't tell you. They won't tell you. I don't have to tell you what I believe in. Who are you? Yeah.
One of the sneaky part was at these conferences, there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. However,
it's always the however. Exactly. Watch out for the however. Yeah. You know? So when a guy comes up and he says, I don't have to tell you what I believe in, and then he says, you have no authority to demand that from me, as a layman I do. I don't have to be a leader to the church. Right. I don't need to be a bishop. I don't need to be a priest. Let's say I'm a little peasant living in France with my wife and my 10 kids. Yeah. And somebody comes into my house, and we're Catholic. Hi, I'm a Catholic. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Huh. Prove it to me.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
If I don't see you in my parish church. I don't know who you are. Prove it to me. So, I mean, that's common sense. You understand what we're saying here? And you're going to find, and that's what Mateus is up against, and he got confused a little bit about the teachings. But the reason he did is because I took my book down on it long time ago, and I forgot. I thought it was up on the site.
Yeah.
So, you know, my book on abjuration, which I had up there for, I took it down a long time ago, and I said it's under revision.
Yeah.
So it's not even up there, Will. It's not there.
Yeah.
Now, I did a lecture on it, which I got 386 audio lectures. So you may not know it, but I do have a lecture on abjuration. So if you went to listen to that lecture, I got the teachings in there. But the reason I took it down is because we got popes that are anti-popes, councils that are not councils. And I'm going to discuss one thing, too, about abjurations as opposed to professions of faith. And so there are things I needed to revise. But when it confused him a little bit because he didn't have the teachings to throw back at these Brazilian people that he's trying to convert. So, I just gave him about 2 or 3, and that's it. I blow him out of the room. Even modern. If you read, like, your canon laws from 1917, they tell you got to abjure. This is something that's not like, this is more like a Vatican II thing after that. But I got teachings going up to even the 19th century, before Vatican II, early. And they're telling you. I'm quoting from the Reception of Converts by the apostate Reverend Joseph Goodwine, from 1944, the penitent is bound to observe the mandates of the bishop. A promise must be exacted from the penitent to denounce any ecclesiastics or other teachers of heresy. He must abjure all heretical beliefs and sever any and all connections with non-Catholic sects. He must make at least a short profession of faith. He is to be enjoined to frequent the sacraments, to retract his errors in the presence of those before whom he manifested his heresy, and to repair any scandal he may have caused. And I have many more quotes in the book, which will be posted shortly. You know, if you're coming from, if you're baptized, and you're in a non-Catholic sect, or you're a schismatic or whatever, and you want to come into the Catholic Church, you need to abjure all the particular heresies you hold or schisms, and then a bishop lays his hands upon you after you abjure or make a profession of faith in a positive way. He lays his hand on you. And when the bishop lays his hand on you
and says the words, by the authority of the Holy See, which I exercise here, I absolve thee from the bond of excommunication which thou hast incurred, and I restore thee to the holy sacraments of the Catholic Church, to communion and unity of the faithful, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that is when they would come into the Catholic Church. However, in the history of the Catholic Church, sometimes the bishop did not lay his hands on, but he anointed them with chrism. And sometimes they didn't lay the hands on nor anoint them with chrism, but only pronounce the words. And in this manner, they came into the Catholic Church, depending on what method the bishop used.
That's when you come into the church. That's when you enter the church. You need the bishop. That presents, preserves the hierarchy and the necessity of the Catholic Church. So what happens today, we don't have Catholic bishops. So that's why I'm saying, as soon as you make that profession of faith, you come into the church. God's not going to prevent you from coming into the Catholic Church for want of a Catholic bishop. That's Epikaia, exemptions from the law. I go over that in my book. So even if you didn't have me around, all right, and you were dying, and you had my profession of faith, and you signed it, you said I believe in it. That's fine. You don't need a Catholic bishop because you don't have one. There's emergency situations and where we haven't had Catholic bishops in the history of the church in certain areas for 100 years or 50 years or 40 years. But if you have a Catholic bishop, you've got to go before him. In respect and authority and obedience to the Catholic Church, submission to your Catholic bishop. That's why I make it, that's why I'm the sole ruler of the church today, and I'm not going to give up authority just because people don't like the authoritarianism.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm helping people. It's not me who's bringing you in, though, but it's, and I tell you, it's when you sign it. It's when you sign, that's when you're coming in. If I was a Catholic bishop, you'd have to be here. I have to lay my hand on you, but I'm not. But the whole thing on abjuration comes down to rebellious, pride-filled, bastard people, especially in democracies. Not if you had a guy like North Korea or a zealous Muslim, he has no problem. These rebellious democracy people, no one's going to tell me what to do. The people rule, no authority. They hate abjurations. They hate professions of faith. It just brought back to my mind all the struggles we had, because now he's going through it. And then I got frustrated because I thought the book was up, and he went, no, it's under revision. I went, oh, well, it's still under revision. And then I thought, this is big. Now, the other stuff I'm working on is not as big as this. It's big in its own realm, but why is this big? Because, see, all you people that came in now, you got goodwill. It's common sense. You know, you said, okay, I'm going to make a profession of faith. You know, and you probably learned from experience that I don't want to be in communion with anybody unless I know what he believes in, or he's going to throw a curveball at me one day. So here you are praying next to this guy who never took a profession. You don't know what he believes. You don't care what he believes. You just trust that he's Catholic. And then one day he opens his fat trap and he says, apostate Jews are God's chosen people and the old covenant is still in effect. And he spouts that out to you. And you go, whoa! Well, it's your own fault because you never asked the guy what he believed in. That's really what's happening here is you're hoping the guy don't say nothing so you can still be in communion with them or go to his church. Because if you speak up, you're going to find out that the guy holds more heresies than alley cats have fleas, and you're going to have to run away from the bum. But how is it that you can go and... I can say I'm a professional football player, and I play for the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm their quarterback, Richard Joseph Michael I. Brand. Okay, I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Prove it to me. Pick up the football, go out there and show me, right? And then I'll mess up and just say I was lying to you. Anything that you belong to, there's rules. There's things you got to believe in. It's not just abjuration, either. It's professions of faith. I just remembering all the people, and it's not just that. It's a lot of people. Go ahead. Ask somebody you're debating.
Johnny come lately. Who's the member of the girl? Oh, she was an older lady. She's going after, I forget her name.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Yeah, I know. I thought about that. Who's this Johnny come lately? He's going to tell me. I've been in the church forever.
An old hag. And she goes, I've been in the church for 30 years. And she calls me a Johnny come lately. This Johnny come lately is going to tell me I got to reject and condemn things? And that I have to tell him what I believe in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Only it's Richie come lately, not Johnny, all right? It's Richie come lately, all right? Yeah, it's kind of late. Yeah, I agree. It's late in the world. I mean, people say, why don't you bring Richie around sooner so we could have cleared this up? Well, I'm here now, and it's not a matter of me. It's a matter of anybody.
Right.
Because they always put the authority thing.
Yeah,
it's got nothing to do with whether you're a bishop or a pope. It's a layman even.
Yeah.
A layman is a Catholic.
Right.
Must make sure that when somebody he doesn't know says he's Catholic, that he really is Catholic. You don't just trust what people say. Yeah, the Kapaner does it. Dimer, he doesn't even believe in any church, but the Dimer brothers do that.
I know.
They refer to people. They don't recall. Oh, you just got to quote the Council of Trent's creed. That's not enough.
No. Yeah.
That is so woefully inadequate when you look at the thousands of heresies since the great apostasy, since Vatican II, and they don't have to make anything, say anything. So my profession of faith covers all points. Go ahead, Ryan.
What happens if you're on a ship and everybody else, all the captains, all the officers are dead, you're just a private, you got to run the ship.
Well, that too. You know? As far as me, I took the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
Good. You know?
Good.
I took the papal bull by the horns and embraced them. But when I argued on this, it's not even a matter of my authority. It's a matter of I'm just a layman, and I want to know what you believe in. The church teaches you need to do this. Did you do it? You didn't do it. Tough. Even laymen have to know the faith. But here's the other teacher. Remember what he said? Laymen can't know nothing. You always got to go to the Pope.
Exactly.
You always need a papal decision. So everyone has to have their own personal Pope next to them to make any judgment or decision. That's another one we were up against. That's a biggie, right, Will? Go ahead.
I remember when I was...
I got my own little personal Pope in here. Come on. Hey, here he is. Yeah.
I remember, like a demon. The diamonds, they were talking about you, like, oh, he makes people, you know, do this as well. I got to go around everybody in the church and say, what do you believe, this and that? And, like, they're trying to think, like, it's all crazy and stuff.
Yeah. Then I'm crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's telling people what they got to believe in. He wants to find out what they believe in. He's telling them they got to take abjurations. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
To me, that was always common sense. Like, what? Yeah, and then I look back when I was ignoring all of that, just so I can go to Mass, and I'm going, wait a second. You know, what happens eventually when you're doing that, you just want to go to Mass, you purposely don't ask people. Don't ask, don't tell, like the homo thing. Don't ask, don't tell. Because if you find out the priest is a heretic, you can't go to his Mass. So you don't say nothing. But eventually you go to that church long enough, and you're going to hear somebody spout out something really bad. And then you're going to go at it, and you're going to start fighting. And then you're going to make a compromise? It's okay, stay in the church no matter what? That happened in St. Lucy's Church with Big Richie, when I had that story about that. So it's sort of like someone comes up and tells you they're Catholic, but they're ashamed to tell you what they believe in. Well, then you're not Catholic.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, you're not Catholic. The only time you don't have to profess your faith is if they're going to mar you, you can sort of hide it, but you can never deny it. But when you're amongst other so-called Catholics and you say, I'm not going to tell you what I believe in, what? What are you ashamed of? What are you denying?
Thomas More effect.
Thomas More. I don't, no see, no hear. No. The monkeys, right?
Yeah.
They
apparently don't believe in the no communion with heretics.
Yeah, that's it, Sister Laura, also.
Yeah.
So how, if I'm not supposed to be in religious communion with heretics, oh, it's real easy. Ignorance is bliss. Don't ask the guy nothing. Just trust what he tells you. Satan can come in the back room looking like a human and say, I'm a Catholic, and we let him in. Brother Ron drew that picture. It was really good. Of Satan kneeling at the altar rail with his horns and the priest giving the communion because the priest told Brother Ron, and Brother Ron said, don't you check people before they go to communion? He goes, no, as long as they make it to the altar rail, I got to give them communion. So Ron drew a picture of Satan with horns at the altar rail. And here's the priest giving him communion because I don't ask no questions.
Yeah. Well, we were down at the gala the last time over there. We were talking to those guys.
Mario?
No, the guys before he was...
All those guys.
Yeah, he had the cross.
Deacon,
yeah, the deacon guy and this and that. Well, then we started getting into about the faith and, well, you go to Mass? I said, no, I don't go to Mass. He said, there's, you know, a sacrilegious communion. What about the Eucharist, this and that? You know, I said, no, what worthy is that? That's you're praying. I said, can't pray, you're praying communion with heretics.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he just took off. Yeah. And his buddy just...
They don't even want to know the word heresy.
Exactly.
Or dogma.
Yeah.
Those are anathema. You know, I said D words, dogma, or H words, heresy, heretic.
Exactly.
So, abjuration all means that.
Yeah.
You know, and even up to, like I said, the 1970 Code of Canon Law, they have the right teachings in there. Even. I mean, it's Vatican II got really bad.
Oh, yeah.
So, now you've got the position where... Mateo's got a little confused because he didn't have the teaching, so he didn't know what to hand back on him. I said, but wait a second, this is common. You're going to tell people that he can be in a heretical sect his whole life and all of a sudden come in, he doesn't have to abjure from it or make a profession of faith and professes the dogmas he denies? So really, an abjuration confesses in a negative way rejecting your heresy or professing the dogma you deny. It comes out to the same thing. But when I'm going to tell you what led me to, I went through different stages on this. Now, this is the second part, we'll go back. But what you're talking about is rejecting and condemning the sect you belong to, the heresies you held in particular. Or you make a profession of faith which states the dogmas of the things that you were denying and you're professing in a positive way. Now, I was doing the negative abjurations for a while in the beginning, and the problem you created, you can do it, but it's really runs into big problems, especially today. Okay, so I used to see these forms, I got them. So you'd have people come in, they says, well, Rich, I don't even know how many churches I went to. I went to 5 different churches, the SSP 10, the Fraternity of St. Peter, the Vatican II Church, then I went to Father Clifford, then I went to Father Sanborn. So I went to 5 different churches, and each church held 5 different heresies. So the abjuration form is like all these sects, it's like monstrous. It's like everybody would have their own thing, and it would have like 10 pages. Then they'd come back and remember that, oh, I was with this other priest. And, oh, he held this heresy, which I forgot. Now you're adding to the list. So, and it was, well, what do you call it? There's a word for that, but unpractical. It was too big, a lot, hard, difficult. You got all these things. They got to think that they get them all. And each person has like a unique 10-page abjuration locked up in there, and then they may come back and say, I just remembered another one. So what I determined to do is I know what these groups believe in. And I'm not saying I'm going to get everyone, you know, but even Protestants. My profession of faith purpose was to profess the dogmas they're denying. So it covers every base. So that if you've been in any of these groups, now you're professing the salvation dogma. Now you professed it. So now I know you believe in it. None of these groups believed in that. So my profession of faith is covering absolutely, almost to my knowledge, everything that they're holding. And then you say, and I reject, you can say, I reject all the different people. By accepting my authority and by signing that profession of faith, I am now coming in. You're implicitly saying, I reject where I came from. Because you left them. I reject every person. Because even I try to think myself, all the churches I went to, it's crazy. So, okay, just reject it all. Okay, so here's what you say. I reject everything I was in. Everybody I was, here's what I now profess, and I submit to Richard as the head of the church, and this is the teaching, this is what I submit to. Now, if you came from a church that held a heresy that I didn't cover in my profession of faith, then you'd have to mention that specifically. And I had, on the abjuration I had originally, you got to be careful, I had it in the back, the way I had it originally was, now, list all the specific ones you held, and again, it's like, it's not one page, it's like 10 pages. But what would happen now is I could put on the back of the profession of faith
consent form,
because it's only one page, I think, right? I could put on the back, list any specific heresies you hold that are not mentioned in the profession. I could put that on the back of my profession of faith. And it would only be a few, because my profession of faith covers the whole base. So if you're coming from an Arian Coptic sect, that Nestorians that believe Jesus isn't God, well, you read my profession of faith. That guy has to say, I profess and believe that Jesus Christ is God and always existed. That's not my profession of faith. That's an abjuration in a positive way from what he used to believe in. As a matter of fact, what they used to do at the Catholic Church, when you had a big group like the Eastern Schismatics or Arians or anyone, Donatists, any one big group that has a lot of people, they would compose either an abjuration, I reject and condemn, or they would compose a profession of faith. That they have to take that and say, I declare that I believe in everything in this profession of faith, which basically condemns all the heresies they held. And so when they would read that profession of faith, they would say, I now agree to all the dogmas in here under pain of anathema. And that is another form of abjuration. So the profession of faith, the one I compose, because I know what these people believe in, covers almost every base. Now, like, and stuff, there are allowable opinions are on here, but let's just stay with the dogma stuff. So I know what these people are believing. Because before, I'll show you, I got some abjuration. People have torn out 10 pages. Then they got to remember, well, I know I was a Sanborn, but I don't know everything he believed in. Well, he was a non-judgmental, non-punishmental heretic, too. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you got to put that down. It gets hairy. So the profession of faith I have covers almost every base that I know of. If somebody comes along and there's something that's not in there, they can write it down. I could put a little section on the back of the profession of faith.
Consent form.
If anything hasn't been covered in this profession of faith, you can list it on the back of the POF.
Consent form.
Now, when I was first doing the POF form, to show you why I did it in a positive way, because I started out in a negative way, I did. it was going to be like an it's the really both abjurations. But I had, for instance, I reject and condemn the heresy which states that Jesus is not God, or I believe in the dogma that Jesus is God. That's real short. Yeah. Now, when you keep, and I didn't even say dogma. I even made it shorter. Here's what I did to show you how I, because then I believe in the dogma. I believe in the dogma. Now, there's about, I got 100 things on there. I believe in the dogma. I believe in the dogma. And then what do you do? I reject and condemn. I reject and condemn. I reject and condemn. And it's you're saying more words when you're saying reject and condemn. I says, no, I'm just going to say in the beginning, everything in this profession of faith is a dogma unless otherwise noted as an AO, which is an allowable opinion. So now all I'm saying is Jesus is God. And you don't even say, I believe Jesus is God. You don't need to say, because you're saying that when you consent. When my consent form says, I believe in all the things in that profession of faith that are dogmas. So I don't have to say, because I believe in the dogma that Jesus is God. Or just say, Jesus is God. And always existed. And in the beginning of the profession, I say, everything in here that is not listed as an allowable opinion is a dogma. I don't have to keep saying, I believe in the dogma. I believe in the dogma which states. I believe in the dogma which states. That's the way some of my early ones were. And it gets tedious.
Just like a creed.
A creed doesn't keep saying I believe all the time. It starts out, I believe, and then you list a whole bunch of things. Exactly. I believe. Sometimes it'll repeat, I believe a little, but usually in the beginning, then it just states what you believe on the bottom. So I learned from experience, from bringing people in and taking abjurations, that this is the best and most efficient and practical way to do it without confounding people's consciences, without them trying to figure out, did I forget somebody? Was I with this guy? I don't really know. Everybody I was with, I was all over the place. I don't know exactly everything they believed in, but I know some of the things they believed in. I said, it suffices to say you believe in all of this, and if there was anything on here that is not listed, then you can list it on the back of the profession of faith.
Consent form.
And I even covered a lot of stuff in there to handle Protestants. If you notice, when I wrote that up about Mary, about papal supremacy, I got it all in there. And think about, because then you'd have to hurt a Protestant if he belonged to 10 different churches, you know, and he's denying all these things. By him accepting that profession of faith, he is rejecting what he used to believe in. And believe me, it's a lot more practical, a lot more manageable, and it's a lot clearer than when you have this other method. So, yes, you could also have somebody, I reject and condemn, if you're a Lutheran, they would, I reject and condemn Lutheran and Lutheranism. You can do that if you want, you know. But think about, I mean, on my abjuration, think about all the heretics in the history of the church.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a specific one for each person unique. But by me saying that, you're saying I reject and condemn everything I was until now, no matter what I was, and now I'm believing in this. This is now where I stand with Richard and what he's teaching, as I profess it in my profession of faith. And if we had a Catholic church, and you had a Catholic bishop, I rejected everything that I was. Now I'm in the Catholic Church with the Pope and with the Catholic bishop. I'm with them now. Every other group I was with that wasn't united to the Pope and the Catholic bishop, I reject. You do it implicitly when you're coming into the church. So there's two ways to do it. But if, go ahead.
So the thing, but now, you know, we come to it where when you abjure, now you get the graces you didn't get at baptism because you're baptized into a false Catholic church.
That's another thing,
so
yeah.
Then you're cleansed of all your,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you are.
If you were never in a Catholic church at all,
yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Exactly.
You would get it when the bishop places his hand on you if we had one, mm-hmm. But we don't, so you get it when you sign the document.
Right.
But the I'm telling, because some say, it has to say reject and condemn. Some people don't think a profession of faith is enough, but it is. And you know, I got teachings that a profession of faith can serve equally as long as it covers all the points they were denying. But if it's missing one, yes, then the guy can come up on the back and say, I believe Jesus Christ was a monkey. Or, you know, something like that. I'll put it on the back. Okay, I reject and condemn my belief that he was an alien. He was like some type of a super alien, you know. But I even got the alien thing on there. So I try to cover anybody who tries to argue. But the thing with Mateos, didn't have the teachings to show him. I got them. And from all the early councils, from even up to 19, before Vatican II, even your heretical apostate commentators are all unanimous on abjurations and professions of faith. It's a Vatican II thing now where they don't want to judge or condemn anybody at all. And you can't ask them what they believe in, and they don't have to reject and condemn anything. They don't require, they don't condemn anybody. So if you can't, if you're not condemning somebody, then why does he have to jaw? Because he's not condemned. We're all together, you see? It would ruin their ecumenical spirit, which says the Protestants and this unorthodox schismatics were all Christians. So then why do they have to abjure if they're okay? So they don't. They don't. They don't require it. We'll just welcome you into the Catholic Church, and you're, you know, you're in the fullness of Christianity, or whatever they're going to say. But this is one of the things, like when I was putting the Mass before the faith, you don't want to ask questions. But then you always get stung. St. Lucy's, I told you the story, the Salvation Dogma, I got stung. And then I even knew they were denying the dogma, and I was still going. So I was in I was knowingly in religious communion association with Salvation of Heretics. Yep. But we made the agreement, we'll just be quiet, so we don't start no fights. Then that big fight broke out with Big Richie, and then I went, this doesn't work. Yeah. See what I'm trying to say? It's common sense. Now, if you really care about the faith, you can't live like that for very long. And if you're really about the Catholic faith, what is your problem about professing what you believe in? Are you holding on to a heresy? Is there something you believe in that is wrong? Why don't you want to tell me what you believe in? Yeah. What is pure? Because I told you you have to do it. That's part of it too. Yeah. Believe me.
Yeah.
You can't tell people what to do no matter what. I don't want to get to another lecture, but I'll just go off a sidetrack, but it relates. Do you know they said most of your Republican righties, they believe that Russia is still communistic. It's not. Totally not. It's communist. And they were talking about, well, even if it's sort of like communism, it's authoritarian. And we hate all authoritarian governments. That's what they say. It's authoritarianism.
Wow.
Authoritarian. That's life. Yeah,
I know.
The family's authority. The father is the head of the family. The mother subject to the father. The kids obey the parents. You obey your boss. Authoritarianism is in the nature of law. Yeah. They condemned authoritarianism. It's like that guy, Goofball, that made that video. Remember? I didn't do it yet. Lance Walnut. Yeah. They're against all authoritarianism. Yeah. What kind of a statement is that to make? Are you joking? You don't believe in authoritarianism? No. They don't. These are the Republicans, the righties. Yeah.
Even
lefties, too, by the way.
DeSantis made it back.
No kings, no monarchs. No authority. No. That's part of when you tell somebody, hey, you got to get abjuration. I'm not telling you as the head of the church. I'm just, as a layman, I'm telling you. Yeah. You ain't going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Nobody tells me what to do. Yeah. Not my wife, not my husband, not my kids, not my boss, nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. I'm a small G God. Even God's not going to tell me what to do. How dare him if he tries to tell me to. Oh, but they will say, no, God's the only one that can tell me what to do. Oh, yeah?
Except for Lance.
Yeah, right. And so, right. Well, if you went to heaven, you ain't going to listen to God neither, believe me. If you don't listen to his representatives, if you're rebellious on earth, you're going to be rebellious in heaven. Well, what a stupid democracy mentality this is. Like, I don't think you'd have an argument like this even maybe 200-300 years ago about the authority and about the abjuration. This has, like, gotten worse with your democracies. So you got two things going on, and nobody can tell the guy what to do. And go ahead.
Well, we just watched the movie Midway again. It was one of my favorites.
Yeah. I got to bring that one in, yeah. You got to bring that in.
You got to have a general. You got to have an admiral.
Blu-ray.
Somebody's got to make a final decision. And if they didn't make the final decision,
Bruce,
we would have lost the battle.
Anybody who has a job, Sal's got a job. He's got his bosses. Don't like him 100%. But he has to obey him to keep his job. But everybody, you got a job. You got a boss. You got the military. You got, I mean, it's a fantasy democracy. But they got this really thing in them. And the problem is, too, that they can do whatever they want, and nobody can really hold them under the yoke if they rebel.
Yeah.
There needs to be punishments, you know? So they're against the wife, the feminist. No one's going to tell her what to do. No one's going to tell her what to do. Just be too authoritative to somebody.
Yeah.
As far as grew up in democracy mentality, they don't want to listen to. Speak to a North Korean, a zealous Muslim who's under his imam, an Orthodox Jew. They're used to obedience.
Yeah.
They're going to be easy. Chinese, they're going to be easy to convert. Yeah. Easy. Because they obey an authority. And they believe you need to have monarchs in authority. People always look forward. Like in the crown, you see that even.
Yeah.
Even though they reduced that monarchy, they still had a respect for some type of monarchy.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about with the abjurations. When you talk to these people, that's a lot. The minute you start telling them they got anybody, they got to do anything, They shut their ears off. I said, well, okay, you don't have to tell me what you believe in, but then you're not Catholic.
Yeah, right.
I said, you're already not Catholic. You know why? Because you denied your obligation to profess the faith. How many times? I said, Phil, how many times did we throw that back in their face? Anybody, when he's obliged to profess the Catholic faith and refuses to do so, is guilty of heresy. He's not Catholic.
Exactly.
He's gone. It's like you're denying the whole deposit of faith. So you're talking about, you know, you don't want to do it. You denied your obligation to profess the faith. You're not Catholic. It's like denying all the dogmas in one. That's what we told him. And he's not alone. There's a lot of people like that. But if any of you brothers had a problem with that, then you got a big problem with rebellion. That's a common sense thing, abjurations and professions of faith. If you're even doubting that, you better watch out. I can understand you could be confused because they're telling you, where's this teaching in the church that I need to abjure? I need to... got thousands of quotes up to before Vatican II. I got him in the book. But the book's not posted. So he didn't have nowhere to go to show the guy what the church teaches. Like I did with Remmel. See, because Remmel was making her claims. You know, you tell me I got to reject him. Oh, yeah? I quoted a couple ecumenical councils, a couple canon laws, two of them, and that was it. She didn't want to hear no more. I said, you asked me. Here it is. Oh, no, you have no right. You can't tell me I got to, I don't care what you say. You're a cult.
Yeah.
You're a cult. I said, good. I said, do me a favor. Get out of here and form your own cult and leave my cult alone. All right? I kicked her ass right out the door. I didn't kick her in the ass, but I should have. If she would have left, kicking the ass might have been following. But she left because I said, get out of here. She's trying to prevent two people from abjuring who eventually did abjure, but she was working on them. Trying to, you don't need to do this. Don't listen to him. You don't have to take an abjuration. It's big. All this came back when Mateus brought this up today because I forgot about it. So this morning even, before he brought it up, I was going to do another lecture, and I wasn't too sure about it. It was a good one, but I went, what should I do? You know. And then he brought this up, and now that's on the top of my platter. I got to revise that book. It is big. Because you guys understood about the profession of faith. It makes sense. Because you don't want to be out there with people that don't believe in these things. So it's really like a common sense kind of a thing, but there's a lot of people that have a problem with it. So that book needs to be out there, so when we're bringing people in, and like Mateus gets questions from these guys in Brazil, I know how they are. You hit him with a couple quotes and knock his ass off his feet. And look, if he doesn't listen after you tell him, get away from him. Don't talk to him anymore. And don't think you need these people. And be careful. Don't be seduced by them either. They have an air of intelligence because they're scholastics. They caught the sumas and all this stuff, but they're idiots. Once you catch them boldly on something, and but they're really idiots. They really are. Look, Father Haberson's the head of Pontifical University in Puerto Rico, and we asked him, is the old covenant still in effect? And he couldn't answer. He says, I don't know. What? I don't care about... Is that a smart man? That's an idiot. That guy's not a smart man. He's an idiot. I don't care how smart he is with books. My point is, don't let them seduce you when you're trying to convert them. Because if they're starting to put doubts in your mind, then there's something wrong with you. That means you're doubting me and the faith, what I'm teaching. And if that happens, that's you're on the road to falling out of the church. Yeah.
Hey, they're hiding their lights under bushels. It's supposed to keep your light on.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And what is that light that our Lord's talking about? Your faith and your deeds. Your faith and your deeds.
Because how is anybody ever going to know or come to the faith if you hide it?
Exactly. What are you? Look, he didn't go to college. He just came up with another good argument. It's true. Hey, guess what? We got like 1 million
nominal
Catholics in the United States, and none of them are allowed to tell you what they believe in. Because they don't do it. I don't know. It's weird. They just don't tell you what they believe in. Well, how can I become Catholic? I don't know. You better go somewhere else to find out, because they ain't going to tell you. As a matter of fact, they even do their utmost to not tell you. They do. We would ask them questions and you want to answer. Do you? No, I ain't going to answer you. Go ahead.
The example is God brings Moses up there and talks to Moses, not a committee. Moses comes back down, finds out they've got a golden calf. What is? Who passes the judgment on all these people that he kills?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
Like a pope. That's like a leader. That's like a general. Right. That's like a government.
And even if Moses was not there, God would have passed judgment. They're already done.
Yeah.
What they did was ipso facto.
Exactly.
They're already out. Moses just was a leader, you're right, yeah. who enforced God's law.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And guess what, Bruce? And he did do an abjuration, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, all you who are now abjuring from this thing, come over to my side now, and I forgive you.
Yeah.
I forgive you. Yeah. You're still going to have to do punishment due to your sins, and they had to do that. But Moses demanded an abjuration.
Yeah.
Think about that. Like, you don't go to ask these people if they're still worshiping the idol or not. You're going to march through the desert with them?
Yeah.
Like Searok, the pain in the ass guy that was bugging Moses all the way through? No. You're a fool, Moses. We're going to worship the calf. Oh, that's fine. That's okay. I don't care.
Know.
You don't got abjure from it.
This is your vanity.
Yeah.
Oh, you knucklehead diamond, right? I need a declaration. Remember the Seder?
Yes.
I need a declaration. Is this heresy or
I need a declaration. I need a declaration. And they deny ipso facto.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. It's like,
When you commit mortal sin, you're ipso facto guilty. You don't need no human being to condemn you. God sees it. It could be secret in your heart. I could, in my heart, believe that Jesus is not God and Mary was, I don't want to say the word, but outwardly I can confess the door because I don't want people to know. So you don't know it, but in your heart you believe that. You're done. You're done. All sin starts in the heart, whether you make it public or not. And that's another big thing they deny. That goes back further, though, with the modern the scholastics about ipso facto, latae sententiae, and ferendi sententiae communications. I've dealt with that pretty deeply on a lot of different topics. Matter of fact, that's where Suarez and Berlin were idiots on that. Absolute idiots. See my article, Cajetan's and Bellarmine's Heresies on Formal Heretics and Loss of Papal Office, as an example. A guy can secretly believe that Jesus is not God, but not say publicly, and he's still Catholic. He's okay. He's still Catholic?
It's almost like if the tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sense.
Yeah. He's still Catholic, even on his heart, he believes Jesus isn't God. And he's still a member of the church. And he gets, in other words, I got a whole article on that. So I got that one's posted. So my point is, let's say if there's something on my profession of faith, and there probably is going to be, there's a lot of people coming in that I missed, fine. Then you write it on the back. I also believe in this, and I reject this now. So I'm sure there's going to be some people coming here. But I covered almost every base. I got a lot of stuff on there. So if you're coming from an Nestorian Coptic sect that believed Jesus was not God and that he was created, and then you're reading my abjuration, Jesus is God. He always existed. He wasn't made, and he wasn't created. And you say, I believe in that. Fine. Okay. You believe in that. Now I know you believe in that. And that's what they did when they were bringing the, I got a couple of decrees on that, even though by apostate antipopes, 1300s, and they were bringing in some of these Eastern unorthodox schismatics. They were a profession of faith. They'd have to say, I believe in all this. I believe in the real presence. I believe it. They've always believed in the real presence, but I believe in papal supremacy. I believe the Pope is the head of the church. And I believe everything is profession of faith under pain of anathema. And that would bring them in. So, anyway, God's bringing this up, brought this up this morning, too, because I forgot about how important this is. And people are going to be saying that. What right does I bring? First thing I say, forget about me being the ruler of the church for 1 second. As a layman even, as a Catholic teaching, I want to know what you believe in. If you are out here, you need to abjure. I don't care. I don't care. And we got no Catholic bishops and posts, so you still got to write it down and abjure. I'm going to get you off the hook. Because we got no Catholic hierarchy. I can go around and believe whatever I want, and I'm going to be saved. And I don't have to profess or believe in anything. This is the Diamond Brothers chaos. Why do you think all the people like him? He doesn't make any demands of anybody. Just quote the Council of Trent. Maybe he'll say something when he confronts the guy one-on-one, but his average person that contacts him, he considers them all Catholic. Patrick Henry was like that.
And how can they trust that?
They all think they're in this capital, they're in this loose communion. We're all Christians, people. We argued in the beginning with people too long, and then you're going to get in trouble. Leave them alone if they don't listen. And we're going to say, I want to know what you believe in, point by point. Not just a basic creed, point by, say it like that even, and boom, it's even worse.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
You don't have to yell it even. You don't have to yell like I yell. You can just say, because when we type it in. When you're typing, you're not yelling, you know? When you're reading it, I don't know what you believe, point by point, asterisk, 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 asterisk. Yeah. Point by point.
Yeah.
No, no, you can say it nicely. Look, you know, I'm telling you this because I love you. Listen, poor little puppy. And I am nice to people. I don't yell at people unless they yell at me first. But so my first approach really would be like this. Look, I'm telling you this because I love you. You know, you said you're Catholic. Fine, that's what you said. That doesn't mean nothing to me unless I know what you believe in. And that means you got to tell me what you believe in point by point, everything. How am I going to know if you're Catholic? That's why I would ask. Don't even try that. You're gone, man. Because if you yelled at them, you say it's because you yelled at them.
Yeah, right.
But most, I don't yell at people, so they yell at me. So you don't have to yell at them. Just say it like I said it right then, and they're out the door.
Yeah.
It's just, they lie, you know. And he yelled at me, or, I don't know, he speaks roughly, you know. He speaks like a barbarian.
Yeah, barbarian.
His grammar's not perfect. He forgot
bastard,
to put a comma here.
A
mm-hmm. He called me a bastard. A bastard! Bastard! Hebrews 12:8, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony at Padua, they had the
bastard. Yeah, use the word bastard.
Yeah. It was like heretic. Right?
It says, Hebrews 12:6-8, for every son whom the Lord receives, he chastises. For if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. I just read another verse today. He uses the word shit, or, which is dung.
Yeah.
Shit or dung. Or, I was just reading Isaiah 37, where the one guy, Rapsacius, was talking to the Jews on the wall. He says, you're going to eat your own crap and you're going to drink your own piss,
yeah.
Urine. That's what he said. You're going to eat your own dung and you're going to drink your own urine. Or anyone that pisses upon the wall. That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
You get all these kind of... you know, they're so concerned about these things that aren't even sins at all. And they're swaddling down these camels of heresies.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Is Mateo still on? I hope so, because this is... If not, at least he'll get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on it, yeah.
But one thing I would tell you, though, when you're trying to convert these people, be careful on how far you go with them. Look at your own conscience. Don't let them seduce you. Because if you start believing them and not me, you're dead. Why say me? Me. That's not me. It's God's teachings in the Catholic Church. I've laid them out. And if you don't respect me by experience, you want to go against me, then there's nothing I can do about that. Because then you're going to come up with any reason, you're going to then fall into heresy. You're going to follow somebody, you're going to believe their heresy against the doggone teaching.
Yep.
If you trust that I've brought it this far, and you trust that I even correct myself. So let's say, for instance, you really do find something I did wrong, I correct it. And I'm glad you do, because that helps me perfect my work. But there's a lot of people out there that don't like me because of my authoritarianism.
Yeah.
They don't, because of what I demand. Because of what I say, because of what I condemn. That's the main reason. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to tell these people out there what to do. When did they hear anybody talk like this for years even?
Yeah.
Even going back to the beginning of the Great Apostasy. You look at some of these papal encyclicals, how anti-popes, putative papal encyclicals, how weak they are. When they're talking about Christians, they're not making it clear the way we talk. This has been going on for 1,000 years, this weakness. This weakness that you call Christianity. And it's not Christianity at all. But then you got the other person that says somebody who's seeking to get away from you is going to make excuses to separate from you. They're going to come up with reasons because they don't like something I said. Maybe because the wife's got to obey the husband, or you got to do this, you got to do that. This is something they don't like. So they're going to look at you and they're going to probe you. They're going to find out, where can I get Ibranian? But you know, it's amazing. The Lord says, I'm going to give you a word, a mouth that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. That's in the Gospels. So my point is, you want to resist, I'll show you the dogma and I'll kick your ass right out the back door. Because I don't care. I got the dogmas. They don't. You want to be a rebel? Go out there with the rest of the world that are rebels. And guess what? Do all these rebels that think they're free? They're the ones that are the slaves. They're slaves to Satan and sin. Remember in the movie Jeremiah, he said to the king, he goes, I'll never be a slave. He goes, you already are a slave. You already are a slave. St. John says in John 8, one of them, whoever committed a sin is of the devil. Is a slave of the devil. Slave of sin. John 8:34. And then there's another one. He says, 1 John something, whoever commits sin is of the devil. So you the devil's really ruling you. You don't even know it. And there'll be no peace in your life because then God's going to curse you. It's amazing. You know. So the one person doesn't want to tell anybody what to do. They want to tell people what to do. Then the other person, you can't tell me what to do because I'm a human being, and I'm going to tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do, I tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do, I tell you what to do. You tell me what to do. Nobody tells anybody what to do. Nobody tells anybody what to do. That's the ultimate Antifa groups. They used to try to do that. They would say they wouldn't even appoint a leader. That's why they were disorganized. They couldn't do anything. They need the Jews and Freemasons that have a hierarchy and obedience. And the hippie groups, right? I forget the guy's name. He's famous too. And they wanted to make him. You know, I can't take leadership. We don't believe in any leadership. He goes, well, then how do you have any rules? Well, we don't have any rules. Well, then how do you know who's the boss? We don't have any boss. Well, how do you know what to do? Well, everybody does what they want. Does that work? That's not even, it doesn't even work. And it did work. It fell apart. It doesn't work. All these Antifa groups that believe like they're ruled by the Jews and Freemasons that give them the orders and give them the money what to do.
Exactly.
And they might say, you know, I'm doing this because I want to do it, not because you told me to do it. Not because you told me to do it, but because I want to do it, and you're not my boss. No, I'm not your boss. See, they're smart, the Jew and the Freemason. He gives the guy money.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he's already got the guy. He knows the guy don't like to be told what to do. So he said, well, take the money and all. Yeah. No, but I know you want to do it. I'm just counseling you. You know, here's some money, $2,000. Here's $10,000, and I'm not telling you. I'm counseling you with him because I know you want to. I know you don't believe in it. So he's doing it for that reason. Yeah. But look at their hierarchy. The Freemasonic lodges. They have strict obedience to their rules. Everybody does. I mean, it's fantasy. And when these Antifa groups broke apart all authority, they fell apart. There was no organization at all. Those are the Jews use and Freemasons use those groups. And then they kill them when they're...
Total obedience.
Yeah, that was good. About her to the bell, yeah. Everybody said it will be. And then... What these Jews and Freemasons did with the Antifa, they would kill them then when they came to power.
Yeah.
Because
they would rebel
they would rebel against them.
Exactly.
And they know it.
Yeah. Right.
They said, these guys aren't going to obey us neither.
Exactly.
So they're slated for...
Useful idiots.
Mm-hmm. Useful idiots.
Useful going.
But you see how many... I'm just giving you the way this works because like I told you, I had one thing I needed to do. Then the next thing came along. And I put that other thing on the back burner because I settled it pretty much. Mm-hmm. And even this other thing, not 100% the first thing. I'm still working on that. The second thing I settled. The third thing we were talking about last week I settled pretty much. It's pretty good, pretty deep too. And just when I got to the point yesterday when everything I read all this stuff. I didn't put it all together. So God knows now, Richard, because if God would have brought this question up 2 days ago, and I started to do this, I would have not been able to complete my thoughts on what I was working on all week. Because what happens when you're working on that, you got to read the history, you got to read the dogmas, you got to read the councils, you got to go out and get the papal encyclicals, you got to make sure you're taking the context, you got to get the Latin, make sure they didn't twist the Latin. And I'll explain to that when the time comes what I was dealing with, but I finally did settle the whole thing, but it's just, now I was getting ready to lay it out, and now this comes up. And when I'm saying get ready to lay it out, that it's still going to take, it's going to be pretty big. It was still going to take me about 2-3 weeks to get this third thing done. But God brought this up today. At least now you got that. You can go back to that. You settled it. Now this is more important. And then, because I forgot all of it. We're talking about it now, you know. Because, you know, it's like we have the truth. We forget how bad it is out there. So, but I thought I had the book up there. And I get angry at myself. I told him, no, he said, the book's under revision. I went, it's still under revision. This is big. Then I went over to my website, and I was trying to find, did I handle it in a brief? Do I even have a brief on it? I don't even have a brief on it. You know, about the teachings on abjuration. I got them like nuclear bombs.
Yeah, right.
It's not even up on my site. I went, what the heck? Wow. I got to work on this. Because it is a big, it's big, it's a big thing people are going to come up with. Big thing. Yes, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like a common sense thing, though. You know, like, I don't know, people don't want to know that. But you still need to have the teaching, is what I'm getting at. Because,
right.
Like with Remmel,
yeah.
I told her the church teaches it, but until I showed her,
right.
And I agree, okay, so here it is. I got it. Here's the teaching. That's always thinking, like, you know, you could, there's something I was looking at, and I forget what it was, but about signs and wonders and all that. Go ahead.
Well, they already think we're Protestants, so if you just say, "Well, no," I say, "No." They want to see what the church teaches. Here's what the church teaches. So
yeah, that's right.
The Catholic Church teaches.
Right. Sorry, but when you call me a Protestant, that's ironic because you guys are the Protestants.
I know exactly.
You're the ones that are praying with Protestants.
I know.
You're the ones that said Martin Luther's okay, not us.
Yeah.
Complete opposite.
Yeah.
But when you got
that's,
to have
that's why we. It's
that's right. Because it's just, you have to.
Yeah, right.
And getting back to the point on what you're saying here, when somebody comes out and says, God spoke to me and told me this, Mary, look all these apparitions. Mary appeared to me, all these mystics. God told me this. Mary told me this. And they got all these miracles. And you can, I mean, you read some of these. They got like documented miracles. The devil can do heal people. By the way, we know he can fly. He can heal people. So you're looking at it. It looks pretty convincing. And so they'll come out and say, God told me this is a pope and he's a holy man. When we know he's not. Okay, so, or God told me these are real popes and all that. It would be the same thing. If I came out in the beginning, and that's why I thank God from the beginning of my heart that he didn't do this. He always told me to learn. He always told me you need to present the evidence. I use this example many times. I use it again. So let's say when this all started and I didn't study yet. I'm not even studying anything. And God speaks to me. Richard, this is Almighty God. Yes, Lord. John Paul II is an apostate anti-pope and the Vatican Council is an apostate council. Tell everybody. God spoke to me. And I'm going to tell this to everybody. John Paul II is an apostate anti-pope. And the Second Vatican Council is an apostate council. And you better believe it. Because God told me. So you go, all right, what do you mean? Like, show me his apostasy. Prove it to me. Show him, back it up with evidence. You understand what I'm saying? So without evidence, it's shallow. And a lot of times when I was working on deep things, I wanted God to tell me, was I right or wrong? And he won't. He never did. He always said, study, learn it. And the very next day after that prayer, he lay a book on my lap. I would get a book, I'd search it, and I'd find it. The next day, read, refute it, learn. If I just keep telling you these things, and you're not, well, because God told me. How do you know that you need to, God told me you need to take abjurations professionally. Does the Catholic Church teach it? Well, yeah, it must. Well, show me where. I don't know where. I don't read. A lot of people are like that. They just, God told me this, and you got to believe it. And they're not backing up. Moses says, check their faith. He says, if this rises amidst thee, a prophet, the one that dreameth a dream. And he foretold a sign and wonder. And that which he foretells comes to pass. And he say, let us follow after strange gods, which our fathers have not known. Thou shalt not hear the voice of that prophet and dreamer. For the Lord God trieth you, whether you love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind, or not. So it's empty. Because you got a lot of these people make claims. Like the guy today. So Ibrani is a false prophet. Aquinas was great. And that was, okay, well, show me why. Show me where I'm wrong, okay? Show me where Aquinas, what I said about him, where I was wrong. Okay? Show me. Show me where I'm wrong. No, they make statements. God Almighty told me that Ibrani is the devil incarnate or whatever. But in the beginning, it's interesting because you pray and you want God to, I want God sometimes to tell me right or wrong. And he always said, study, study. I'm not going to tell you. You need to produce the evidence. Because it's an easy way out. Oh, God told me, fine, I don't got to study it anymore. God confirms it when it's done. And in the sense, the confirmation comes when you're praying about it, he puts the books in front of you. And then when you're reading the books, you don't need God to tell you. You don't, because he already told you. You're looking right at it through the Catholic Church. God doesn't need to tell you. You see, Rich, isn't this a lot better than if I just told you and you didn't study it? Because I'm going to say, where did you get that from? I don't know. God told me. Where did you get that from? First Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. Second Council of Constantinople. First Council of Constantinople, 381. Council of Ephesus, 431. That's where I got it from. Where did you get that thing about Origen being a heretic or Honorius? Five ecumenical councils.
Yeah.
So God came in and said, Rich, or Jerome, or is there, and I don't study it. So you study it. But the whole thing with abjurations and professions of faith, now I know that's my next topic. Now I hope something doesn't come up next week because this is important. That's why I'm talking about it now. And even my lecture up there needs to be revised. I might have said in there, you need to do the negative one and you can't do a profession of faith. That doesn't suffice. I'm not sure. I don't think I did, but because there is a point where they say you could take a profession of faith. So I got to reread it. I got to revise it. I got people in there that are, I listed them as popes and they're apostate anti-popes. I'm listing councils that are not, are invalid councils. So there's other things I got to revise in it. Not much. But now I know I got to go at this full bore. Because that's going to refute anybody that's come in and say, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I need to believe in. You know, when people, did I post up, anyway, I might have posted up, when people here read, they just read my profession of faith and what I'm requiring from them, their hair goes up. They get nuts. Most people. Nobody's going to tell me what to believe. He ain't going to tell me what I got to believe in. He's just a Richie come lately. Johnny come lately. We had one lady. She's so crazy, man. She was, I read his stuff. He doesn't have any sources.
Sorry.
He doesn't have any sources. I probably got more sources than you even want. You get, you look at them, you go, wow, do I got to read the footnote? No, you don't need to read the footnote, but it's there, right? You know, I got sources, you understand? I don't just trust what people say, like you idiots. But I mean, where's she getting it from? That was another knucklehead. And she would keep repeating it.
Yeah.
What do you say about people like that? Your inveterate life.
Canaanites.
And Ryan, who needs them?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, when you're out there in the world trying to convert people, just remember, they need you. You don't need them. Don't let them influence you. Get away from them. Don't feel like you got to debate them and convince them and you got to go back with the better argument. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
You keep going back too much, you're going to lose the faith. They're going to get into you. Maybe why are you going? Because he has a hierarchy? Because they got masses down there? Or what? I don't. Where are you going? If he doesn't listen, he doesn't listen. C'est la vie.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care. You don't exist to me.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's deep. You exist, but you don't exist. Unless you get in my faccia, in my face. You get in my face? You better watch out if I power on. Unless it got me chained up and I can't do nothing about it.
I'll make you not exist.
Then I'll make you not exist. You'll go from existence to non-existence. Ooh, it's deep. Figure that one out. Ryan, take this guy out and bring him into non-existence. I mean, he'll still exist, but, you know. But technically speaking, not in this. Not on the, yeah. You're going to.
Train station.
You're getting ready to take a nice hot trip.
Yeah.
It's my job to make sure the meeting takes place.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Man on Fire.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. If anybody. One of the classic secular great movies is Man on Fire. You got to watch that movie. That movie is sublime. It's got some. There's a Norbert Soto. People are saying, you're supposed to love people. God, the guy's ready to blow up this evildoer, right? Real evil guy, you know. And he needs the apartment. These Norbert Soto Mexicans.
Yeah.
And she, you go, our Lord tells us we should love people. We shouldn't judge anybody.
Yeah.
And what he says, it's my job to arrange the meeting.
Yeah.
It's my job to arrange the meeting.
Yeah.
They can tell it to God.
Yeah.
That was your typical. That was a great scene because that shows you about your typical Norbert Soto mush.
Yeah. I'm a professional.
That movie was so good, man. That movie was like a classic. Man on Fire.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions? What time is it?
12.
Oh, I thought that was 12. Almost one. Yeah. Anyway, any questions for anybody? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to believe in? Whatever you want, little puppy. Do whatever you want. All right. So let's see. I think we can put an end to that for now. But that's what I'm going to be working on now. And, you see, you get far away from these people. I still know it needs to be up there, though. But my point would be you want to have the teaching. You know, so you sting. So if somebody comes along, you could confront them once because you're trying to convert them, and he brings that issue up. You show him the teaching. If you like with Merlin Rumble, he doesn't listen. There's the door. I ain't going to talk to you no more. Don't keep arguing with people that once you discover they're a bad will. Believe me. For instance, this group that Mateus is talking to, if they don't believe the desecrations are bad, if they think that there's no heresies, don't even talk to them about abjuration. What are you wasting your time for? Don't even talk to them. It's almost like you yourself could be committing a sin for giving them so much time. Now, the reason we did it to Father Harrison is because he's a prominent, if they're prominent and are popular and they're influencing people like Harrison, because he was a big shot. Then we go after them.
Yeah.
We kept cornered them. Bro, little guy, we got him. We caught, and he never.
That was so simple question.
What a weasel he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What a weasel.
He was.
We caught Pulvermacher on the Salvation Dogma. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
That was like pulling teeth. But we got him.
Yeah.
We finally got him on it. We're not. We're here like, you know, you're inquisitors, right? You want to find out what? It's unbelievable. I'm Catholic, but I don't have to. You know why they don't tell you what they believe in? Because they don't even know what they believe in.
Yeah.
They think Catholicism is racial. I was born a Catholic, I'm going to die a Catholic. Like Father Watson said, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. He said that. Father Watson said that. Once a Catholic, where did he get that from? And he's the guy that was holding the Salvation Dogma, Father James Watson. I met him a couple of times. After he said that, I wanted to knock his block off. He didn't like me after, because I confronted him, and I just wanted to, and he was real strict, real holy looking and all that. What a bum. Well, looking back at all, I get out of here. Are you kidding me?
Infiltrators.
Oh yeah, he could have been a Freemason. I don't. Maybe not. Maybe he's just a, you know. Yeah, yeah. But it was kind of weird, you know. Once a Catholic, always a Catholic.
Yeah,
what the heck is that? A Catholic can't fall out of the church? Where did he get that from? But he did. That's part of the denial of the Salvation Dogma, by the way. That's one of the aspects of it. All right. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.